Small towns are defined by their secrets. Some are even haunted by them. There is a communal consciousness that remembers everything, no matter how hard people may try to forget. You can't keep a secret in a place like this, at least not forever. Marshall is only 40 miles from the state's eastern border, but still deep in the heart of Texas. Folks live and die with the Mavericks on Friday nights and seek salvation in church on Sundays. Since World War II, the population has remained unchanged at 23,000 souls. It's almost as if there's no incentive to come here, but people can't find a good reason to leave either. We have an equal number of white and black citizens, but the scars of inequality run deep. The ghosts of slavery and segregation still roam our streets. To this day, a statue of a Confederate soldier casts a shadow over the town square. Behind the bronzed effigy of Johnny Reb stands the old Harrison County Courthouse. Its bright yellow facade, marble columns, and domed top make it our unofficial Capitol building. Lawyers love a good courthouse the way players love a good ballpark. It makes us believe that our lot in life is more important than it probably is. The best lawyers in these parts, however, don't work in this building. Just beyond the hand-laid red brick parking lot of the old county courthouse stands another building, another courthouse. It's a simple beige and brown rectangle, 30 feet high, with small columns in front. Its demeanor suggests you need not notice it at all. This is the Sam B. Hall Jr. Federal Building, home to the U.S. District Court. For the past 20 years, the Eastern District of Texas has been the epicenter of intellectual property law in the United States. It is Marshall's best-kept secret. For some reason that morning, as I sat at the plaintiff's table with my client and a team of lawyers from the Chicago law firm of Rosewood and Barkman, I was overcome with a feeling of awe. It was the final day of my final trial for the calendar year, and I found myself in a moment of reflection. As I looked up at Judge Gardner's wrinkled face, I couldn't shake the idea that the kingdom he had built was as impressive as it was improbable, and that we all owed him a debt of gratitude. There had been whispers around the courthouse for months that the judge was contemplating stepping down. People were even speculating that he would announce his retirement that night at the annual Christmas party. I dismissed these rumors as baseless because I believed he would have told me privately if that were his plan. Still, I'd had a sense lately that he was trying to savor certain moments as if they were passing by, never to return. As he glanced in my direction, I wondered if he felt a sense of pride. I was, after all, his protege. He had crafted me in his image.
Mr. Euchre?
Judge Gardner drew the court's attention my way without revealing any affection for me. After I'd spent 5 days sitting quietly beside my client with nothing to do but ponder the wonders of our universe, the time had come for me to do what I'd been hired to do. I was going to deliver a closing argument. Thank you, Your Honor. I rose to my feet but didn't button my jacket. I walked toward the 8 members of the jury in complete silence. It was the first time they would be hearing from me since they were selected, and I wanted to give them a few more beats. I found my mark, and then hesitated, as if unsure of how to begin. Truthfully, I knew every word that was about to come out of my mouth. I was going to deliver my patented Ford pickup closing. As a matter of legal fact, a collection of words, such as a speech, cannot be patented, but rather copyrighted. Suffice it to say, it was my favorite summation. When I was 15 years old, the widow who lived next door to me decided to sell her late husband's truck. It was a 1964 Ford F-100 with a cracked windshield, missing fender, and dented grille. Its original Rangoon red paint job, which perfectly matched the high school's colors, was peeling and had faded under the sun. It was the most beautiful vehicle I'd ever seen. I struck a deal with the widow. In 1 year, I would buy that truck for $2,400. Bagging groceries at the Kroger for $3.35 an hour wasn't going to cut it, so I got a paper route and started mowing lawns on the weekends. I took any odd job I could find, and for 1 year, I didn't spend a penny unless I absolutely had to. Where most boys would keep a picture of their girlfriends in their wallets, I had a photo of this old truck, a reminder of what all the hard work was for. the best day of my young life was when I emptied out my savings account, handed my neighbor all $2,400 to my name, and became the proud owner of a Ford pickup.